The 2024 recruiting class are finally all together on campus.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fye.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's episode 44 of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we're going to talk a little bit of freshman reporting news. And then Bruce finally finishes off his, I believe, the last edition of this roster for the upcoming season, and it's a big one. We're going to talk about that. But first, we got to give a shout-out to our boy Ford Stokes at Active Wealth Management. Check him out at activewealth.com or annuity360.net. You can also check out his television show that he's launched in Huntsville and Columbus. If you're not in that area and you want to go back and check the episodes, you can go to retirementresults.com and check out all the stuff that they're talking about on this show. Look, reach out to Ford. And if you've already got a 401k, if you got a 401k and you want to have it, make sure that it's performing at its peak. Typically, to go ask a financial guy to do that for you, it costs around $1,500. Ford will do it for free. So reach out to him. You've worked really hard to build your nest egg, and you want to make sure that you're doing all the things you need to be doing to maximize your wealth. So check him out, Ford Stokes. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him I sent you. All right. So quick programming note. We're going to try something. We're going to give something a run. We're going to have a little bit of shorter episodes, but I'm going to try to go daily. We're going to try to go daily. We took the holiday off yesterday, but from henceforth, we're going to try to put out some daily content. Try to be a little bit more current. Sometimes with the Tuesday and Thursday show, you miss some of the headliners and you talk about it and you talked about it after everybody else already talked about it. So I want to go ahead and get that going and have some fun this summer and put out some fun stuff to talk about. So first off, the 2024 class is on campus, minus one, and we're going to talk about him in just a second, but he's coming. Over the weekend, you had Perry Thompson, you had Malcolm Simmons, and you had Amon Lane Gaines. Go ahead and report, move in to Auburn. And you got DeAndre Carter coming, and we'll talk about him in just a second. But it's so funny how you go through recruiting cycles now, and the vast majority of your kids are here in December. And sometimes they get here, and you almost forget about the guys that report normally, like it was, you know, 5-6 years ago, when you may get, you know, 5 or 6 that enroll early, and the rest of your class enrolls regularly in your June or at the end of May after they graduate. But we got most all of the class in December. They've already gone through spring. And you got some guys coming in that are not just filler guys. You're talking headliners that are going to probably be able to, if not contribute year one, towards the end of the year, and definitely start being the guys that you focus on moving forward year two and beyond. But obviously the headliner is Perry Thompson. You know, Perry Thompson, we've talked about him until we're blue in the face, but probably one of the more important players from so many aspects. I did a whole show about how important he is. He's finally here. There was even maybe some concern that, you know, there may be some concern, not serious, but some people were like, man, if Cam's getting all the hype and there's just spring portal season, could Perry Thompson, you know, theoretically go elsewhere? But all of those worries are gone. He's here, he's enrolled, and we at least get to see him develop over the summer and through his first season. And then obviously just like everybody, you're gonna have to go through roster management in December and show them the plan. If they don't get to play a whole lot, the plan moving forward for them, but big time. And one of the first things that he's doing is taking pictures with Cam Coleman. It doesn't seem like this is going to be when you have two alphas like that in the room, I mean, you worry sometimes about chemistry, but it does seem like these two guys like each other. And if they understand that they need each other, because if you got one on one side and one on the other, and they perform to their abilities, the sky is the limit. Like, and Cam said that, like, how do you guard that? You know, how do you guard that? If you got me on one side, you got Perry on the other side, and you got a couple of these other guys in the slot, like, who do you guard? So the question is, and the key is going to be, is how quick can Perry get up to speed? The body is ready. Like, he is physically mature enough to be able to play in the SEC off the hoop. He's bigger. He is a bigger kid than Cam Coleman. Cam's longer and has more of a prototype, I guess, looking wide receiver body. But Perry is just jacked. You know, Perry's going to be 6'3", play at 6'3", 210, 215, and just be a mauler wide receiver. Hugh really compares him a lot to the, you know, like a DK Metcalf. I kind of like the Deebo Samuel comparison. You know, he's a little bit taller than Deebo, but they're both just – they're good wide receivers, but they're also guys that you can put in space, and it's almost like having an extra running back. And then just so happens that this running back, this kid that can play as a, you know, another running back has, you know, close to 4.3 speed, you know, low 4.4. Sometimes he's hit the, you know, high 4.3 speed. So you just can't say enough about how exciting it is to get a kid like that into your program. All the concerns about him flipping to Alabama, that, you know, on signing day, or, you know, possibly looking at going into the portal, you know, and again, it's, that was very, very little chatter, but it was people's concern. It's probably unfounded a little bit, but all that's over. He's here and he's getting to work already. Malcolm Simmons is here. Malcolm Simmons, possibly one of the most underrated kids in the whole class, and he's going to be an absolute phenom. He's a kid that could get into the – he could crack into the return game right away. He's just an electric with the ball in his hands. And then I'm not even going to say he can't crack into the wide receiver rotation. It's not like there's a lot of – supplanted, you know, talent there that's just been there for a bunch of years. It's just, you know, sort of incumbent to start. I think everything kind of up for grabs in that room. So – he's got to gain a little bit of weight. He's a little bit of a smaller frame, but he's got the, you know, he's got the ability to be sort of like a, I always kind of thought he was kind of like a, maybe a Odell Beckham type looking wide receiver. That's kind of how that's the way it looks like to me whenever I watch his film and things like that. So he's got to get in. They're going to get in the weight room. They're already posting pictures on Instagram in the indoor facility. Clearly just been working out, throwing, catching with Dre Lambert, which that's what Dre said he wanted to do, is come in and be a part of something where he could mentor younger wide receivers. And clearly, as soon as they're here, he's already working on it. So big to get Malcolm Simmons here, get him in the mix, because the quicker he can get up to speed physically — he may not be 100% able to be there physically, but as quick as he can get there physically, he's going to be an impact, I think, right away. I call Malcolm Simmons underrated. One of my favorite signees from this class, for multiple reasons, is Amon Lane Gaines. Look, what can you say about Amon Lane Gaines? This dude stuck with Auburn through thick and thin, you know, through coaching, a coaching change, through the ups and downs. I think he committed. He was one of maybe Brian Harsin's first commits. I know he was, if he wasn't the first commit of this 20, I think he was the first commit of this 2024 class, because he was a holdover. Like, he stayed with Auburn throughout the whole thing. He's been through some injuries, but I feel like both of them were sort of freakish, not like indicative of somebody that's going to have injury problems, but I think he's, you know, back to full speed. And he's here, and he talked about how, you know, he's been waiting for this moment. You know, he's been waiting to be here for so long. He's been committed to Auburn for, it seems like, a decade, but he's finally here. And this is a guy that's, again, in that DB room, you just keep having hit after hit after hit. And I think this guy could be one of those as well. He's a little bit more physically, I think, ready, than most freshmen that come in to play corner. I think he's going to be, you know, somewhere around 5'10", close to 200 pounds, 190-ish, you know, 190 to 195 pounds. And he's going to, if he's healthy, I think his injury's healed, he'll be able to get in the mix. Again, that's a deep room, but it's a young room. So it's not like anybody, again, it's not like anybody has seniority over positions. I think it's all kind of up for grabs. So great to finally get Amon Lane Gaines in. I think the kid's going to be a player. He's going to be a great player in that defensive back room for multiple years. Then the big one, one of your only offensive line, one of your very few high school offensive line signees, DeAndre Carter. He's not quite here yet, but it's nothing to worry about. I believe he's from California, and they just graduate a little bit later. So I think his graduation is like this weekend, this coming up weekend, and he's supposed to move in like the next very next day. So that's another kid that's highly rated. He's a top 100 player on Rivals, top 120, top 120, 130 on ESPN. He's got his high. At one point in time, he was, basically a consensus top 100 player. Got to work on his body a little bit, and that's the great thing that he can do this summer. You know, if he goes ahead and gets in here, which he should this weekend, start working on that. He's a little bit on the heavy side, but this is a kid that's a four-year starter at probably the most historic high school program in the country, as far as how state championships, how good they are, Mater Dei High School. He is a four-year starter there is unheard of. You have tons of dudes that just play their senior year because they're just loaded. And this kid played 4 years at the highest level of football in California that you could possibly play. And then we have some turnover after this season. The offensive line is essentially almost all, especially the interior, other than Connor Liu, are all older guys. So he's going to have the opportunity, if he comes in and works hard, that he can go ahead and take over right away. So big to have him in, big to have those guys in. That 2024 class after this weekend, well, 100% in. I don't think we had any academic casualties, which is another big plus. I think everybody that you bring in, depend on somebody, and then they have to end up going like a JUCO route or something else. I think you pretty much got everybody in, which is also kind of rare. So awesome foundation to be set for the Hugh Freeze era. And these guys are finally here, and I'm excited about it. And I think you should be excited about it too. So we'll have to see how workouts and things like that progress moving forward. But yeah, that's about it for the 2024 class. The big news over the weekend is this Bruce Pearl roster finally, I believe, is finished. And you added not just a role player. You didn't just add anybody. You added the leading scorer from a Power 5 team, not a leading scorer from a G5 team. This is a leading scorer from a Power 5 team. Now, they weren't that great, but he was the leading scorer for Georgia Tech. Miles Kelly, another one of these combo guards, which you have a ton of now, that you have so many options of rotations and things like that. But Miles Kelly's a kid who came in playing 30-plus minutes at Georgia Tech, and he's just not going to play, I don't believe, 30 minutes at Auburn. But, 20 to 25 minutes a game and be able to play at a high-level guard where you don't have to be the focus. You don't have to be the scorer. That's the thing about being at Georgia Tech. Like, if Miles Kelly didn't go, they didn't go. So he had to probably take a lot of shots that he normally wouldn't take. He had to do a lot of things extra to try to make plays. He didn't just get to play his position. It was like, I got to be the whole team, because if I don't score 22, which he did score 20 plus multiple times, if I don't do that, we don't have a shot to win. And they didn't win a ton anyway, but definitely had to have Miles be the guy. And he gets to come to Auburn and just be able to pick his battles and play the matchups. And he knows he's got players around him. So I don't have to be careless. I don't have to just go to the hole and try to throw something up. I can find me a shot, or I can distribute and get it to somebody else to get a shot. So I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic about this this addition. He's going to play a little bit of two, probably play a little bit of three, and you know, rotate in between those. I don't know that he's ever going to play a play point guard. I think your point guard is going to be obviously Pegues, and you know, you'll get a little bit of Denver in there, maybe some Tahad for, you know, 10 to 12 minutes a game, but mostly it's going to be JP and just roll with JP. And then you have so many different lineups. And here's a cool thing. There is a lineup where you can have everybody on the floor and your smallest guy is like 6'3". That'd be, I think, Denver Jones is right at 6'3". And when he's running point, you could have Denver Jones. You could have Miles Kelly, who's 6'4", 6'5". You could have Chad, who's 6'6", 6'7". Chaney, who's right around 6'7". And then you have Broom, who's 6'11". So you got tons of length. And you notice I think Bruce tweeted something out like length matters right before this kid committed. So I think that was kind of signaling you're bringing in another long guard. You got so many of those guys. I mean, just think about who all you've added to the roster that can play multiple spots. You're going to have a super athletic lineups. You're going to have a lot of different types of combinations that you can put out there that you don't feel like the offensive production has to drop. So that's really exciting. You know, that's also really exciting because there were times when lineups could go out where you're like, man, where's the offense going to come from? And it seems like now, unless you just completely missed on like a Tahad Pettiford, or you just completely miss on JP Pegues, and it's really hard to find out where the sub package that comes in isn't able to score, isn't able to get after it. So Miles Kelly, huge addition, somebody to be excited of, another, you know, long guy that can shoot 35-ish% from three, which is all you really need, can get to the line, can slash and shoot over 80% from the free throw line. Auburn had one of the worst late in the clock offenses in the country. And mostly because we didn't really have I don't feel like either one of our point guards could really, you know, they didn't really function well late in the clock. And then, you know, maybe we had some issues with being able to distribute the ball and get to the basket. But I think now you got a bunch of guys that have played. You got essentially all seniors and two freshmen. I mean, you have a very, very seasoned team that is ready to make a run. And I think it could be one of the most electric lineups that Bruce has had in quite a while. So a lot of people banged on it. A lot of people hated on, you know, you had a bunch of quote unquote misses that we talked about that weren't really misses. It's just situational stuff. And then if you're just patient though, you add your role player at power forward that you needed to have. And then now you got your another scoring threat that you've added, a scoring at a high level threat that you've added at guard. And you kind of give your offense all kinds of different options and stuff like that moving forward. So excited about the freshmen all reporting. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We got some big visits coming up this weekend. Excited about basketball, excited about the basketball roster. We're going to break the roster down as well over the summer. So we're going to try this daily thing and we're going to have fun with it and see what happens. So I really appreciate it, guys. This is episode. I wouldn't do it daily if I didn't feel like you guys wanted to hear, you know, if you guys didn't want to listen. So I really appreciate the listens. I'll appreciate the feedback. Like and subscribe this video. Get in the comments. Get after me. Let's get after it. Let's fight. Let's hug. Let's love. Whatever we got to do, let's talk it out in the comments. That's one of my favorite parts. So follow me on social, @_Charlie_5, and we'll get back with you tomorrow. Not on Thursday. We're going to get back with you tomorrow. So y'all have a great day, and we will catch you next time. This is episode 44. Unbelievable. 44 of the Top Button Podcast. Even though I'm not buttoned right now, y'all stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely. Yeah.